Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Here again the words of St. Paul from his letter to the Ephesians. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This morning is part two of what it means to be in Christ. Last week we heard the lengthy litany in that glorious run-on sentence of Ephesians 1 of what we have in Christ. In Christ we are blessed. In Christ we are chosen. In Christ we are destined for adoption as God's children. In Christ we are loved. In Christ we are redeemed. In Christ we have an inheritance for which our baptism is a down payment, guaranteeing our full possession of it in the resurrection. And all of this we have as ours in Christ, right now, even as we sit here this morning. Today the Apostle Paul expands on that theme of our being in Christ, and he focuses on this, our unity in Christ. Not just you and me, but all of us all together. In Christ, we are now citizens of the commonwealth of God. We are members of God's household. We are living stones built into a holy temple, a dwelling place of God by his Spirit. We are in Christ, one family, one people, one temple. You might say in Christ the walls come a tumbling down. Walls that separate us, walls that divide us from each other, walls that exclude, walls that keep us away. In the Old Testament, there was a great wall, the wall of separation between Israel and all the other nations, between God's chosen people and all the other people of the world, between the circumcised and the uncircumcised. That's the only distinction besides male and female that the scripture knows about, is circumcised and uncircumcised. All the other divisions that we make up are man-made. The law of God set the Israelite apart, consecrated him, made him holy. The law said to him, do not touch, do not handle, do not go near, be separate. The law set Israel apart from her Gentile neighbors with a wall of commandments that the Gentiles did not have to keep. Dietary laws, what we call the kosher laws today, Sabbath laws, feast and festival days. These were for the Israelites. They were not for the Gentiles. If you were an Israelite in the Old Testament, you had a sense of being different, of being set aside from birth for a holy purpose, to be the bearer of the promised seed of salvation to the nations of the world, to be the womb that bore the Messiah in the fullness of time, to bear the promise to Adam and to Abraham, that through the promised seed of woman, through the offspring of Abraham, God would bless all the nations. And so that's why you as an Israelite in the Old Testament were set apart. You were holy. You were different. From your mother's knee, you learned not to associate with those unclean ones, the goyim, the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. You didn't eat at their tables. You didn't play in their houses. Recall that the Apostle Peter had to receive a threefold kick from the Lord at prayer time. before he would go to the house of the Gentile Cornelius. And even then, he was uneasy about it, and he was almost apologetic as he stepped through the door of Cornelius's home. Recall that the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church, the baptism of the uncircumcised as full-fledged members of the church, caused such a ruckus in the early church that they had to call a meeting in Jerusalem to sort out all the logistics. When some visitors from Jerusalem came to Antioch to see what was going on, Peter visibly withdrew from the table of the Gentile believers, and he had to be publicly rebuked by the Apostle Paul. The lesson in all of this is that the walls of division come down slowly, and they come down hard. Now, you and I are all familiar with walls, I think. We have walls that separate us from our neighbors. In the Midwest, where I grew up, they used to say that strong fences make for good neighbors, but out here in Southern California, we have walls with rebar in them. We have gated communities with high walls and security gates. If you put barbed wire at the top, they would look like prisons locked from the inside. Sin causes the walls to go up, walls that separate, walls of defensiveness. Our sin separates us from God, sets us hiding in the bushes like Adam, and it sets us against one another, blaming one another for our lot in life, accusing one another. Sin divides. It wedges between us and God. That's the whole nature of sin at its heart. It's a wedge driven deep between us and God, leaving us alone, isolated, self-absorbed. It was for the sake of sin, your sin, that God put up his own wall, and he formed his own gated community called Israel, a nothing nation of nomads taken out of Egypt as slaves, a chosen and holy people set apart for one holy purpose, to bring forth Christ in the fullness of time. Jesus was an Israelite by birth, circumcised into Israel on the eighth day of his life. He walked on Israel's soil. And he also walked on Samaritan soil and on the Gentile dirt across the Jordan. He didn't shake that dust from his feet, but he left his footprints there as well. He proclaimed the peace of God to those who were near, his fellow countrymen who often rejected him. And he proclaimed the peace of God to those who were far off, those who were excluded, to the Gentiles who often welcomed him. He reached out to a Samaritan woman at the well whose marital life was not quite in order. He let the bread of Israel's table fall to a Canaanite dog. He touched the lives of the Roman soldier, the synagogue ruler, the tax collector. He ate at the table of the priest and the Bible scholar, along with the tax agent and the prostitute. He embraced the excluded and he welcomed them into the kingdom of God. And he warned those who were included that their religious self-justification set them on the threshold of exclusion. The appearance of Jesus brought the division of the Israelite and the Gentile, of the circumcised and the uncircumcised, to an end. The wall that had stood for some 1,400 years cracked at the sound of his preaching, and it tumbled to the ground as the earth shook at his death on Good Friday, when the curtain of the temple, that dividing wall between the holy and the unholy, was torn in two from top to bottom. The walls came a tumbling down. When I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, I will draw all to myself. In the death of Jesus, the wall that divides comes tumbling down, and the world is finally again one in him. He has brought the far and the near together by his blood. He has made peace where we have no peace, reconciling the world to his Father, reconciling us to each other in his crucified body. His blood brings peace. His wounds bring healing. His separation brings our union. In Christ, we are one in the most profound sense of the word unity. We are one with Christ, and we are one with each other. But then you're going to say, why are then we still so divided? Why is there Jew and Christian? Why are they divided? Why are Christians divided among ourselves? Why are we sometimes divided amongst ourselves? What's all this unity talk when the world is more divided than ever? And the answer today is the same as it was last week. It's all in Christ. This profound reality of our union with Christ and with one another, is all in Christ. It is not in ourselves. Were it left up to us, we would be back in the business of building up walls that have been knocked down. We love our walls, and when they get knocked down, we build them right back again. Where God in Christ had torn down the wall between circumcised and uncircumcised, there were those, even in the early church, who wanted to put the wall back up again. And we do the very same thing. We throw up walls of opinion, of division, of politics, walls of jealousy, of anger, of envy, walls of prejudice and pride. We take the body of Christ and we tear it into a million pieces, and each one of them claims to be the true one. And yet there is, as Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all, one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, one Spirit through whom we have access through Christ to the Father. We may come from many different nationalities. We may speak different languages. We may have different cultures. We may have different political views. We may be registered to different parties and vote differently. But we all have a baptismal passport that is stamped citizen of heaven. You and I are citizens along with the saints, those who have gone before us, members of the family of God. We are built on the firm foundation that God himself laid down, the prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New, with Christ Jesus being the cornerstone who sets the whole thing straight and in line. He is the key. He joins together the old and the new into one undivided people, what Peter calls a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people that belongs to God, all in Christ. And in Christ means you don't do it, and I don't do it. It means we must believe it, and we must trust it, and we must take God at his word on it. Have you noticed something in the scriptures that the church is never spoken of in individual terms? It is never, I am the church, or you are the church, but it is only the inclusive we together, we all together. Not only here, those who have gathered here, but as we say in the liturgy with the angels, the archangels, and all the company of heaven, those who have died and gone before us and are in Christ. We all together are one people, one family, one holy temple of the Spirit. You might say that Christ is the end of all of our idolatrous individualism, where each of us has made a church for ourselves. And each of us has made a God for ourselves. Instead, we get ourselves back in a new way, a way that is free of barriers and dividing walls of sin and defensiveness, a way that unites and embraces and gathers and includes. And that's what the church is called to show forth in the world here, our unity in Christ. One baptism, one bread, one cup. One bread, one Savior, one death and resurrection for the life of the whole world. Once you were far off, Paul says, you were excluded, walled off. Now you have been drawn near, gathered, included. You belong. Your baptism testifies, you belong. Christ's body and blood testify, you belong to the body of Christ. You belong to the family of God. You belong to his priesthood. You belong to the church, the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. You are, my friends, privileged people, gifted and holy and one in Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.